Reggie, and I am Brian. And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks.
What's up, Reg? How was your week?
Yo, sucker.
What's up, word?
I don't know why I did all that.
I don't know. It just seemed like fun.
I know. I'm kind of a little bit weird today.
It is. It's a weird day. It's May and it's 65 degrees outside. I'm a little
dude. It was such an awesome day today, though. I mean, like, I finished my class in ACTS yesterday was the last day, right? Okay. So I got my last little essay done, got it shipped off, and then till today I didn't have any homework, like nothing.
Yeah.
And my new class starts on Monday. So I was like, okay. So I went to breakfast with the fellas. And then I came back and I was like, I just got on my work overalls and went out with the chainsaws and went to work.
There you go.
It was fun, man. It was cool.
And, you know, it's Saturday. It's Saturday. It's going to be weird when they hear this on Thursday that it's Saturday. It's going to be confusing. They're going to be like, but it's Thursday.
Saturday. It's kind of like everybody records this.
Yeah, fair enough.
We have new lights.
Yes.
These are.
I don't think that impressed anybody when I did that.
Probably not. But, you know, now that the camera is actually in focus for a change, so I went ahead and got some spotlights for us here. Then just changed it up a bit. So hopefully this looks better, but we'll see after I get done putting it in, run it through Premiere Pro and all that crap. But, last week. Oh man, did you see what how it turned out?
It did.
Dude, we had all these power outages, so all the lighting got all reset. And so when I went to go edit everything, it was like
yeah, I know. It seemed a little washed out and weird.
Oh, it was so weird. It was hard to correct, but
yeah.
I got it close enough and I was like, okay, I'm not messing with it.
In case anybody hasn't noticed, Reggie's computer knowledge is here and mine's, I don't know, I can't go below the floor, but that's where my computer knowledge is. And but you know who helps people with their computer knowledge, Reggie? Edwards Managed Technology Consulting Computer.
I don't understand how you have such a hard time with
this. I know, man. Edwards, I try.
Managed Technology Computer Consulting.
There you go. That's right. Take it away, Edwards. We all learned a thing or two about viruses over the last few years.
Are we talking just computer viruses or?
Yeah.
But have you thought about protecting your computer against the latest threats?
At EMTCC, they've learned how to fight off viruses faster than Marvel can put out another superhero movie.
Woo! Don't know where to start? They can help you develop a plan and implement strategies for that situation.
Reggie, did you know they are set up with all the latest and greatest technology to help prevent cybercrime?
I did not, but now I do.
Absolutely.
Visit www.emtcc.net to set up an appointment or give us a call at 1-888-551-2770.
Mention R&B Talks and receive 10% off your initial appointment. Remote and on-site options are available. And we're back.
Hey,
how are you doing?
So this is you were asking, there's a Boswell pipe today.
Mm-hmm. Maximum pipage. This is a Boswell
pipe. This was a Boswell as well. He does a bunch of these like jumbo pipes that are just.
Yeah, that's a honker right
awesome,
there.
Awesome.
That's a honker pipe right there.
But I love it. And this was one from 2018. And I think this one is actually from last year. Oh, no, 2021. Okay. And that's a calabash, but I don't remember what they're called, but Calabash Pipe World. Where I bought that one from Turkey.
Turkey.
Oh, that reminds me. So Mother's Day tomorrow, we're supposed to do some chicken in the brine. We're supposed to put the brine. I got to brine them today so I can put them in the smoker tomorrow. So we're going to smoke some chicken and take it over to my mother-in-law.
I'm going to flat iron some salmon tomorrow.
Cool.
I'm going to do some flat iron salmon with some fajita style vegetables.
Yeah, is that Julie's? Does she love salmon?
She is absolutely a salmon fanatic.
Oh, I'll be dang.
Like, she loves anything salmon. If we go to a restaurant, it's usually a salmon salad or a salmon filet.
Really?
Yeah, she does salmon. She's a mad salmon person.
I have to smoke some for her sometime.
Oh, that would be awesome. She loves it. Like, tomorrow I'm going to flat iron some salmon, use some herb butter, and just kind of slow and low heat for a while. And I'm going to hit up some vegetables and probably go get her some kind of Mother's Day dessert. I don't know what that will be, but I will do it because she is my wife. And I am appreciative.
My Julie's been weird with food lately, so it's like I don't even know what to do. And it's kind of like, well, it's really like if I make her mom happy, she's happy. So that's what I'm doing, really. But we don't really care about the Mother's Day, Father's Day stuff because, like, it always happens that though, like, for those days, it's like those you are actually called to be, you know, the mom of the year kind of scenario or dad, because it's always those days when I'm like having to run somebody to the hospital or you know, something, or it's on my birthday or Father's Day. I'm always having to do like extra dad things.
I'll be honest with you. When we first got married, we celebrated like birthdays and stuff hard, but now that the kids are here and I'm all about celebrating somebody, just not in the traditional sense that you see, but like, hey man, it's awesome that you were born today, let's have a meal or something, right? Julie's not a big holiday celebrator.
Okay, right. I changed my views on like birthdays, but I didn't care, didn't want to, it was just stupid to me. But then I really thought about it from like in today's modern world, how much we get like nobody celebrates anybody thing. And it's like, so one day of the year you can take to just celebrate someone.
Yeah.
That's really important. Now, do I think everybody should like go in debt and go for a big old party? No, but I mean like still like we were not buying each other anything. Me and my wife, or we weren't even really, it was like, nobody cares. We went to dinner where we wanted to. Yeah. Was that? Well, I said, no, let's, so we did. We've been changing that around. The birthdays are important. It's like that day is a very much centered on like, dude, you were born and you know.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Without this day, that would be a struggle.
Yeah. So here we go.
But for me, you know, so the way I think about it too is some people may not get celebrated in their lives very often.
Yeah, that's true too.
Hold somebody up on their birthday, man. You know, make them feel unique and special. Right? Doesn't have to be some exorbitant expense, or you don't have to go broke doing it. You just gotta,
yep.
You know, a lot of times just recognizing someone's birthday and giving them a hug and telling them happy birthday, man.
Yeah, just make sure you're like, you're acknowledging it. And like, you know, if there's something you can do, then do it, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's just a matter of, my wife's love language is words of affirmation. So I try to always give her those. But especially on like anniversaries and birthdays, I really try to build her up because that's her love language, man. Is
yeah, dude,
is you gotta, positive.
Gotta speak it.
Yeah, and you know my love language is, I don't even know what my love language is.
But right? Guys don't really have one. We're just like, you just.
Yeah, somebody asked me that the other day. They're like, "What is your love language?" And I was like, "Tacos." I was like, "Really good tacos. That's my love language."
I don't know.
Like, feed me, give me a place to sleep. We're good. Right. So, all right, Reggie. So let's talk about a little snippet that we watched this week. A little bit of Jordan Peterson, a little bit of Dave Ramsey.
Yeah. In the description will be the link to the Entree Leadership Channel's video. I was going to have it play and do all this stuff, but, I didn't want to set all that up because doing all this, I didn't have time. So here we are making a description where people can watch it down there. But the basic of it is they, I guess Jordan Peterson went on the Dave Ramsey show.
Yeah.
Right. So the Dave Ramsey show, if you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey, he's a, I guess you call him a financial coach.
Yeah. He's in Entree Leadership is sort of a, of a thing that he does where he invites different people on and
And
has them speak. And honestly, if you subscribe to the Entree Leadership channel, there's some good stuff on there, right? Like some good debates look, and Dane's things like that.
Very smart chap anyway. But so on this particular thing, they're talking. So Jordan actually goes through like how when he was like a socialist. And he starts off on that subject, right? About he was socialist and he was in the university and all this stuff. And then how what actually changed his mind to bring him into a different way of thinking.
And what did change his mind, Reggie?
It was I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was like productivity. Basically. Well,
to break it down, at first in his mind, he had the socialist mindset of let's just help everybody and give everybody everything. But then he began to realize by watching the people that he was opposed to.
Entrepreneurs
who were and not big, giant business entrepreneurs, just small business entrepreneurs and their hard work and how that really actually did have an impact on the society around them, how entrepreneurship actually shows a moral center.
Well, they were producing innovation and real things for the community. Whereas in a much I can't remember, heightened sense, right? It was so much greater.
And this kind of draws back to the original, you know, I've had this debate with several people who have declared themselves socialist, and the problem with the socialist argument is it hits the wall at about 10 seconds in. And really the reason it hits the wall is when you ask them if everybody has to share everything and nobody is encouraged to become an entrepreneur and a creator and a developer, how does a society advance? And they don't know. They can't answer that question. Because literally, and I use technology and trust me when I say, I know that technology is a dangerous thing at times and can be very invasive and can cause problems. But in the larger picture, in the larger sense, technology has advanced our society by light years.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a very commonly used example, but there is a million times more computing power on your phone than there was on the first rocket to go to the moon. So the device in your pocket is computer wise and intelligence wise a million times more powerful than the computers on the first rocket to the moon. So innovation and technology and growth and development are necessary to make a society move forward. And when you stifle that, which is what socialism does, Marxism does, communism does,
keep in mind socialism is like part of those other things.
Well, it is, but it's different versions. They're it's like subcultures, I would say.
What I would say is like because communism is like socialism is an economic physiology.
Here's a great way to say it. Socialism is. It's economic with the puppet master individual in the background, because eventually in every socialist society, one person rises to the top, but they try to play themselves as subjugate to the people, although they're the ones taking it.
Well, they have the power.
Yeah. The Marxism is pure madness, because Marxism contradicts itself constantly and always tries to diminish the growth of the one, right? And
for the sake of the whole.
But Marxism is a little more in your face about there being this one person in charge.
Yeah.
Communism is a cold ball bat to the back of the head. I'm going to take over
everything.
You're going to do what I say. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Well, and it's morality is, I mean, like everything is controlled by the state, basically.
Yeah. And I think all three of them are sort of brothers in arms with each other.
Okay,
they just all have different.
They're related.
Different. They're all related, but they just have different things going on. But I think what was really great about that video was, and you and I discussed this before, and you and I see a little bit differently on this is Dave Ramsey took a really hard line on, I don't need to explain myself to people. I don't need to argue with people, right? Jordan Peterson really counteracted it with a great point. He goes, under the current, you know, smothering regime of, you know, woke anti-moralism, you're going to have to explain, because most people, especially the younger generation, doesn't know, because all they've heard is the wokeism, and you agree with that. And I disagree to a certain degree. I kind of fall in the middle, in the sense that you've got to pick your battles. And the most dangerous thing in the world is a person who educates themselves and then chooses to ignore the education that they have. And I think a lot of the reason why our institutes and our colleges and our governments are so dangerous right now is not because they're blindly committing to something without pre-existing knowledge, that they're educated and they're choosing to lay that education down and buy the lie.
Okay. What I would say is that I still abide by the words of Solomon in Proverbs, what it says, like, you know, it's pointless to argue with a fool.
Yeah.
Okay. there's still that I would say, sure. It would be silly to, like, someone's way off the deep end who's shown themselves not to be, who's just closed ears. Is not, why would you talk to them? Okay.
Yeah.
However, though, in this day and age, I think where Dr. Peterson's point really hammers home is that when you're in the public, so in other words, like on here on our channel, if we were not to explain our ethos about what we believe in everything and shy away from those topics, we'd be guilty of what they were talking about, like how we're not really divulging where or explaining our belief systems and our worldview.
Yeah.
And that's just being overshadowed and overcast by all the other mainstream media and stuff, which it already is.
Well, and what would be worse would be not only for us to deny who we are and what we believe, but to masquerade that we are something that we are not, and that we do not have eccentricities and faults. And because I think a lot of the problem nowadays, especially with the Marxist communist, you know, socialist argument, is when you do something wrong, it's not wrong. It's just what you do. Well, no, everything's a decision. Right.
Well,
if we all worked on autopilot, there would be nothing would be necessary. Right. So this thing where we, like, you know, when I hear someone in our government debate that Israel shouldn't get help, who is a Jewish individual, it not only shows me someone who's bought the lie, but it also shows me someone who's being disingenuous about the morality of the situation and their heritage and their true thoughts in order to be a member of the group.
Well, let me pull this back just a second. What this Jordan Peterson, Dave Ramsey thing, and I'll get to that other thing, but what that alluded to for me is why I'm here on this channel doing what we do every week.
Yeah.
I don't battle on social media anymore.
Yeah.
I gave that said that was dumb. It's like you said, it was, and I would agree that leads to nowhere, but I felt like there's, you still need to explain your ethos somehow, some way. And this was a version of that for me.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like how instead of sitting there and seeing all this stuff on Facebook and arguing and being a keyboard warrior, I'm like, well, no, let me speak it like I want to, that I can present ideas and stuff in a manner that is not so tied to either just text in a comment or some meme or whatever. It's actually me speaking. People can see me, what my facial expressions are, how I'm, if I'm passionate, if I'm just being silly, if whatever. So for me, what he was saying ring true by why R&B talks even exist today.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, but this is where I think ties into the cultural stigmatism of like, don't talk politics, don't talk religion. That'll get you in trouble. Well, look, there's probably nothing more important to people than those two things. Usually.
Absolutely.
If they're like into current events and stuff like that, that's what they want. That's what they're really thinking about. Right. Yeah. So you're not even engaging them on what they think are important. Now, if they're a sports fanatic, whatever, I'm not a sports guy. So there's that. But what I'm saying is though, if we don't choose to engage some, at least on times where it's suitable, and we just let that go because we're saying, well, we don't want to have that argument. They will never listen to us. Then you're contributing to what Dr. Peterson was saying, that the beliefs and the ethos, like, I love the word ethos, by the way. It's a fantastic word.
We'll get you a t-shirt that just says
ethos. My ethos is greater than, you know, whatever. But yeah, it if you don't do that, it just gets lost and it'll be lost and no one would ever, they won't know. So, but this comes back to like, how do you have a discussion with someone who disagrees with you, on a fundamental matter?
Yeah.
Like it's like, do you just go slap somebody in the face with like, this is what I believe, you're wrong, and you, there's no turning back from here? Well, that doesn't get you anywhere.
Well, yeah, an argument from authority is a failed argument. Like, you can't, you know, Ben Shapiro said it best, just because I don't have a PhD doesn't mean I don't know a lot about something, right? So this argument of this, I'm right, you're wrong, I don't have to tell you why, I just am, that's an argument from authority, and it fails immediately. So,
no, but so anyway, Jordan Peterson and Dave Rand, it was just a really neat illustration of both why he decided to switch his perspective, and also this whole thing about, you know, interacting and like explaining your ethos is really important, because it's not getting heard today. Yeah. And that's really, I think that's, this is, I mean, it's not, it's, I'm not going to say like all of the people who subscribe to like the socialist agenda, like, are mainly unemployed and they do all this. I'm not going to say that. And then like the people that are, or have jobs and do all this stuff and they're more busy, that doesn't ring true. So a lot of times, but I hear that though, from
some people. You do hear that a lot. Yes.
You could say that there's a vast majority of the education though, that is, education system, whether it be, you know, whatever school system you're talking about.
And this has actually statistically been proven. Most of the people who choose to go socialist or Marxist are college educated.
Well, yeah, because they've been indoctrinated by this.
They've been indoctrinated by the system. Yeah. So, and that's not a negative or a positive. It's just a statistical fact, right? But I did find it very interesting that most of the people who are socialist and Marxist do not have degrees. Like, most of them have degrees in art and philosophy and, right? Like, they didn't decide to go into the medical field or, you know, the sciences or mm-hmm. you know, mathematics. It's a lot of like, you know, art and literature degrees and things like that, which I thought was very telling in a lot of ways, because art and literature and philosophy and all those things can be very subjective. And can cause you to think subjectively. So, and it's not, again, not a knock. I actually have a guy I've known for many years, and he has a degree in literary science. And he's very successful, and he's a very staunch conservative. And it just was a fascinating subject to him, and that's what he chose to get his degree in. And what he does for a living has zero to do with his degree, but that's what he wanted to learn, so he learned it, right?
Well, that's
so,
the same way for me. I mean, my degree is in will be shortly in apologetics. So it's like, will I use it? Sure. But like, am I going to go into that field? Probably. I don't know. Probably not. Maybe probably not for a while, you know, because I'm just
part-time maybe,
you know, who knows, but I think this just gets back to like having discussions between two different views
of
people has gone away.
Yeah.
And you know, we're not gathering very much anymore. As in, I mean, there's just a lot of things that that's really gotten screwed up with our communities, I should say, in our culture, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the other thing that we want to talk about, you brought to my attention today some Nancy Pelosi goodness.
Some Nancy Pelosi garbage. Yeah. Okay. So I got to say it. Ready? Hot garbage.
So Brian, what was this video?
Populism. There was a debate at Oxford debate about populism and
populism versus democracy.
Versus right? democracy. And in my opinion, most democratic societies have a populist standpoint, because if you look up the definition of populism, and that's I just happened to have it on my my phone here, allow me to pull that up. I knew we might need this, so here we go. Let's go. All right. The Dictionary of Oxford Languages, by the way, Oxford debates, a political approach that strives to appeal to ordinary people who feel that their concerns are disregarded by established elite groups. The question is whether he will tone down his fiery populism now that he has joined the political establishment, right? Support for populist politicians or policies. The government came to power in a wave of populism. The quality of appealing to or being aimed at ordinary people, art museums did not gain bigger audiences through new populism. Okay, so, and we all know what democracy is. It's by the people. Well, first, let's push the lie off the table. And this is kind of where I'm going to take my gloves off. And I get a lot of heat for this. We are not a democracy. Stop saying that. We are a republic. We do not decide who our leaders are, because if we decided who our leaders are, there would be a whole lot of presidents that were never president. It is decided by electoral votes. I think it's an imbalanced system that doesn't work, because it doesn't always speak the voice of the people. I think that this whole populism argument is coming from the staunch radical left as a way to justify just lawlessness. Let's take all of the laws off the table, because the populace, meaning anyone who has any conservative values at all, are dangerous to democracy. Well, first, again, stop telling that lie. We are not a democracy. I'm not saying that we don't have democratic traits. I won't ever say that. But we are not, federally, we are not a democracy. Okay? And Nancy Pelosi, and I'm going to say this, for her to be as wealthy as she is, and we know how she got her money. We know who her husband is. We know how he got his money. We know that she's insider trading. All that stuff has gone on. For her to come out being no better term than violently wealthy, and to say that we need to have a socialist style democratic society. Nancy, shut up. You are the ultimate hypocrite. So is your husband. So is Chuck Schumer. And let's not stop there. I can name 20 Republicans that are just as big a hypocrites. The problem that we have is we got the wrong people telling us to do the right to do the right thing. And what I mean by that is she has zero compass for morality. That's proven in the things that she does. So why would I take any words from you, you lunatic, and apply them in my life when all I do is watch you break the rules at breakneck speed? Sorry. I got a little upset. I'm still a little upset.
I don't think there's any reason to apologize.
Wusaw.
So let me take this step further.
Okay.
Pelosi is a puppet of the global overlords who contributes to the elitists who control Biden. And then they force the global agenda on everybody else and try to manipulate the economies and the people to maximize the wealth and power of the global overlords.
Well, you heard her in that debate. She was arguing for a welfare state.
So
in its most powerful form, because in her mind, going more and more trillions of dollars into national debt was justified so that we could have a welfare state, essentially was her argument. If you really listen to it,
keep in mind, here's what became crystal clear this week, actually, because I was just because I randomly see these things and it pops up all these thoughts. Keep in mind, we're still living in an era where the Franklin Roosevelt clan are still leading the way in this country. And what I mean by that are the people that subscribe to that mentality. Okay. If we remember, like, everybody hails Franklin Roosevelt if they don't know history. But if you know historically what they did, which, like, the Social Security system and the several, there's a whole bunch of stuff during and that time period was tumultuous, but like the things he did really didn't were socialistic, were more brought us really into that, and that clan of leaders that have been ushered in after that and so forth since then have took us farther and farther down that agenda.
Well, if you think about it, social security is a way to create a socialist state amongst our aged and elderly, because so many people were sold the lie. No. If you let us take more money out of your check, what we're going to do is put it in a savings account. And then when you retire, we're going to give you a check every month and you won't have to worry about life. But they've bankrupted Social Security and they have no plan to pay it back. And on top of that, they've allowed Medicare, the cost of Medicare, which you are required to carry if you want insurance or if you retire and draw Social Security, so high that even if you were to get a decent amount of money from your Social Security, a good 40% of it's going to get eat up in Medicare costs.
Yeah. So roping this back a little bit, because we'll get caught up in a rabbit hole. Yeah,
sorry, I get fired up.
But the here's the thing that once again, I don't understand why people hail this woman at all. She spoke in circles and really didn't make any points that were intelligent, really, that were historically accurate, I just found it just stupid.
Well, what I kept hearing from her, the thing I think that frustrated me the most was when she would say, "Well, you're talking about this form of populism. And I'm talking about this form of populism."
She's talking about orange man bad.
Yeah. And the problem you got is populism is simply populism. You don't get to rewrite the definition of the word because it suits what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And again, this all heralds back to this anti-Trump thing that just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling and and it's so just. I'm so done with it. Like, dude, if you cannot find a way to counter the policies or things or whatever that he believes in, besides just saying, "Oh, he's bad," he doesn't, and start manipulating and throwing in all these other nonsense. Now, look, well, let me clarify this. Do I think Trump is like this, like, savior and like, great example human being? Well, not necessarily. I think he's done a lot of crap that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that.
But let's also be clear that a lot of the crap that he's done, he did within the confines of the laws that were laid out by the federal government. So they may not necessarily have been morally great, but they weren't necessarily illegal either.
Well, they're unequally applying the laws to Trump, whereas the very people that are trying to do all this are guilty of the same thing.
Yeah.
If not their friends or whoever backs them or whatever. This is not anything new. Okay. Now, I don't want to get into specific. I don't really want to argue about that. But I just want to clarify this whole. Again, I'll put the link in the description though. But I didn't get to hear the opposing view.
I did. He did a magnificent job of blowing her up.
I'm sure he did, because it's pretty easy to do that. But again, it's just like, it's redefining terms. It's trying to make a freedom oriented independent mindset of the individual into a bad thing. It's trying to say, well, the uber wealthy is who will gain all this, the benefit for this and this and this. But let's not forget, and I think, let's not forget, trickle-down economics actually made an impact when Reagan was president.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's quick to throw out, well, that only affected the top 1% and all this stuff, and it didn't touch the middle class. But yet the statistics from, like, anything legit actually point to the middle class having more to do, like more wealth during that time period.
Yeah.
It didn't start that way, but because you impacted the top, it did trickle down mm-hmm. to the bottom. It did.
When you encourage and reward entrepreneurship and business leadership, it develops into jobs. It develops into opportunities.
It develops into other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, exactly.
We must bring back the small business owner. That's going away because it's too damn hard.
It's not going away. It's dying.
Right. Because
it's dying because they're standing over it with a butcher knife stabbing holes in it.
Oh yeah. It's crazy.
You know, I say this and I ask this question a lot, but I think it's interesting for me to ask it out loud and, you know, first of all, to you hardcore liberal people who claim you want socialist governments and Marxist ideas, are you willing to give up the car that you love to ride around in, your, you know, SUV or whatever your electric car is that costs $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000? Are you ready to give up your iPhone? Because here's the way it works. When you're in a socialist or Marxist government, nobody can have more than the person next to them. So that means that all those things that you value, that phone you're staring at, the electric car you purchased, you're going to have to give that up and then split that up amongst the rest of the people, because you're not going to be allowed to have anything of your own. And if you don't see the failed logic in that, you need to wake up. And as far as you people who are questioning the truth, you really need to sit down and understand that what truth is and how important it is, because choosing to bury the truth to believe a pretty lie is not going to make your life any better.
But okay, I'll tell you a story about when I did engage in social media ages ago when Bernie Sanders was running for president.
Bunny.
So Bernie Sanders was, there was a lady, I had a musician friend and he actually unfriended me eventually, but he was a good guy. I mean, I still like to get, it's not like that, but it's just because we differed on. See, this is the thing I hate about social media. Cause like if you have an argument on social media, all of a sudden it's like, oh, we get unfriend. It's idiotic. Anyway. And it's unfortunately, it's always the left side who unfriends. It's not
ever, yeah, it's never it's us,
never me. And I don't mean like that I'm not speaking for all. I'm just saying in my case, it's always the other side that chooses to sever the relationship. Yeah. Okay. Note. Now, there was this one chick who got on there was saying how she was an economist or she had studied economy at school and did all this. And I just said, well, this is another reason why the educational system has failed. because it's like, how do you go through economics even 101 without learning that the socialistic principles don't really work for anything other than the upper echelon of society?
How much more clearly can you state the effects of socialism than over our history? 100% of the time, it's failed.
And we weren't planning on getting down the rabbit hole of socialism on this.
Yeah, I don't think we were either.
This show, but that's okay, whatever. But that's true. I mean, there's not like everybody points to like Scandinavia and like some of the other countries who are socialistic.
It's not socialistic. It's a meritocracy.
But yeah, it's not socialism.
Just because you want to cut. Hey, I can look at a cow and call it a rabbit, but that doesn't mean it's a rabbit, right? Like it's if you look at the Scandinavian countries, they are the epitome of meritocracy.
Well, and also too, if you look at the Dutch, they got the highest rate of antidepressants prescribed. Uh-huh. And they're supposed to be good, mm-hmm. yet they're all taking antidepressants. How's that working out? Economically, they're not doing that great.
No.
But you know who is? Poland.
Yeah.
Why is Poland doing it? It's completely not anything like that. It's like, yeah. I told my wife the other day, maybe we should move to Poland. We should move to freaking Poland. Because they're like, look, no, we're all about this and we're not going to do it. I mean, I don't know, that one, the last, I don't know, whatever they call him, the president or leader or whatever. And I forget his name too. But I mean, he just cleaned house. He's like, no, and it totally changed Poland.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, look. We actually are more socialist than most of the European countries in our taxation. We're so convoluted in our tax system, and we've said this before, but we get taxed like 5-6 times on the same dollar.
Exactly.
And they don't do that. That's not necessarily the case in most of those other countries that are hailed as all this stuff. It's appalling. But you know, I just think I would like to have this actually pulls this back to what we were talking about with Jordan Peterson and Dave Ramsey. We need to talk across these divides,
yep.
and have conversations that aren't just throwing out misleading or misinterpretations or, you know, all these different straw man arguments or whatever. We need to actually have real debate and real sense of critical thinking and analysis of issues.
Well, I think part of the biggest problem is we've abandoned the search for truth in a lot of ways.
Well, look, facts or feelings is kind of an old hack now, you know, it's like,
but for me, it's just the abandonment of truth, right? Like,
that's what I mean. It's
like, if I'm going to talk to you about something and I don't have any facts about it, I might jokingly touch the surface of it, but I'm not going to get into an in-depth conversation about something I know nothing about, because eventually I'm going to put myself in a position where I'm going to be completely at a disadvantage.
Let me give everybody a really, 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 really important tip. If you are going to have a conversation with somebody that you disagree with, ask questions.
Yep.
Don't even approach it with your ideals or anything. Just leave that aside for to start it off. Start asking questions. Get to know what their views and opinions are in detail or the stuff. Do that first.
Ask them for example. Say, hey, can you give me an example of what you're talking about? And if they go, why? Be like, because I honestly would like to know, right? Like you seem very convinced of this. I would love an example so that I can understand where you're coming from more. Like that's really all I'm reason I'm asking, you know. And you know, you can tell a lot about an argument when you get to that point, or a discussion, not an argument. You can tell a lot about a discussion when you get to that point. Because if you're discussing with someone who has some educational background, they don't really get upset. They're willing to share those ideals. But when you get to someone who's never really researched the thing that they've chosen, the bandwagon they've chosen to jump on, and they are very on their heels and very defensive, more than likely you've hit a pretty deep nerve. And there's because they're not ready for you.
Well, Charlie right? Kirk is a great example of that.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
I mean, he goes on these people come up and they just cuss at him and they say all kinds of stuff. And he's like, well, why do you believe that? What have I said that's not this? Da, da, da. And they just cuss at him and leave.
Yeah. Ben Shapiro's another one. Super educated.
I guess these college morons have no idea. Like, that is not how you have a discussion.
Well, but that's the erosion of our institutes.
Exactly.
Right? Like that's the, you know, another great example is all of these things that are these anti-Israel riots that are going, I guess you'll call them riots. I don't think there's been any deaths yet. maybe there have. I don't know. And I don't want to disrespect or lessen the impact of something like that if it did happen. But they are our professional agitators going out to these groups.
Yes.
And teaching them basically to ignore all facts and stay on the point of Hamas and Gaza. And it's just the, it's not only the erosion of our institutes, man, it's the erosion of our social fabric.
I love the term death cult with Hamas. Hamas is a death cult. They are after the complete eradication of Americans,
Israel,
Britons, Jewish people. I mean, anybody who disagrees with their philosophy deserves to die. That's it. That's their philosophy. I mean, so all these morons and they're actually going to die. If they have their way and Hamas gets to do whatever they want, they're going to die.
Yeah.
Now, how does that benefit anybody?
All you people.
That's stupid.
All you people that are out here on these campuses chanting for Hamas, if they were there, they would kill you.
So this whole thing with this
Jew, that's how stupid we are.
It is completely just asinine. Like, you want to talk about not having an argument? Like, wow.
Yeah.
Really? But this is the thing about this whole, like, what Biden came out and said, hey, we're not going to supply the weapons to do this stuff. Dude. But the thing is, what amazes me, though, and this is what I was reading about the, so the, was it, not God, the name of the daggone,
Gaza Strip?
No, not Gaza Strip, but the Rashi or
Rashida Tlaib?
Whatever. No, the place. Anyway, okay. It's like 25 square miles.
Yes.
Really small.
Yeah.
We're denying them precision weapons.
Yeah.
So that they can better target into this small area. So in other words, we're saying, you know what? Actually, we know you're going to do something and retaliate and do all this stuff and attack these, because that Hamas is hiding behind all these freaking, because they're cowards. And we're denying the precision weapons that would help, like,
lessen
severely
the collateral damage. Yep.
So in other words, we're doing the exact opposite of what Biden was saying that they're going
to
do.
Well, but you also have to understand, Biden's not in control.
No, I know that, but he's the one who said it.
He's the one that's going out there and saying it. But it's, you know, I can't honestly say I'm surprised. We're the only country that has people in leadership in our government that are anti-America. And unfortunately, the ignorance of that is utterly dumbfounding.
But this goes, this rolls right into my philosophy of right now, politics is a circus that doesn't deserve my time. It's not going to save anything. It's not going to solve anything. Should you be aware? Should you, like, you know what's going on? Sure. But at the end of the day, It's not the government.
Okay. All right. I got to quote my man, Kevin Gates. When you walk into a room and there's a bunch of clowns, you don't stay there. You turn around and leave and let the clowns have the circus. Cause if you stay with the clowns, you become part of the circus, right?
Part of the circus.
And, yep. And unfortunately we got a whole lot of people who want to be clowns, right? Like, they would, you know, and this comes back to something, and I was thinking about this earlier this week, and I'd love to get your opinion on it. Do you think that the erosion of our society will eventually be the death rattle of the free thinker, or will it eventually spawn a new generation of free thinkers? Because right now we don't have a lot of free thinkers. We have a lot of, you know, drink the Kool-Aiders, I'll call it, right?
But see, here's where I think that it's some of that is just perpetuated by the media in how vast that actually is.
Yeah.
And I say that because I think the majority of the landmass of this country is populated by people who don't think that way. Okay. And not necessarily the populous centers where there's like the most people.
Yeah.
But where you have the rural parts of America, which is quite a bit.
Well, I think part of the problem is the large centers of the country, like Los Angeles, yeah. San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Detroit, are all hubs for liberal idea, right? Even Austin has kind of fallen victim to that, right? And
oh no, they full-fledged dove into it.
Dude. Yeah, and because those are very densely populated areas, and those are the areas that are constantly at the forefront, people assume that that means that the whole United States thinks that way. Well, what you're starting to see is a reversal of that in a sense, because a lot of people are like, no. Like we've reached the point of Willy Wonka, right? We're no longer even, you know, and don't get me wrong, I think we reached the point of Willy Wonka about 3 years ago, but we've reached the point of Willy Wonka and we're going to let you guys go on and do whatever it is you're going to do, but we're not going with you. And I think that what you're seeing in the Jordan Petersons and the Ben Shapiro's and the Matt Walsh's and the Charlie Kirk's and the Candace Owens and all these people is you're seeing a resurgence of free thinking people who don't want to be part of the crowd. And I think what's happening is, and I truly believe this, that I think you're seeing society turn into a bad episode of professional wrestling and everybody's like, yeah, good, but I'm not going to do it. Right. So I do think that it's going to manifest and give opportunity to a lot more people to come out and be like, all right, it's time for everybody to come on, wake up. Right.
Well, the way I look at it and I think there's always, as long as there is free thinkers, and they raise up their children to be free thinkers, that will still be around. And I think we're at the precipice has already passed where that's kind of going the other way. Cause I think when Jordan Peterson was saying about not saying you're not believing your ethos, I think a lot of people are starting to buy that.
Yeah.
And it's been rising up more and more where you see more and more people stepping up and explaining.
Yeah.
Their whole ethos and how that works. And like us, we rose out of that saying, look,
yeah.
We're tired of people not knowing what we stand for or buying all this nonsense on the media or buying all that. Cause look, we came on here where we are explaining our ethos in public where people can rightly see it.
Ethos.
And they can subscribe this channel by clicking the button.
Click subscribe.
So I think, so like we're part of the resurgence of the critical thinking, free thinking mentality of, you know, freedom and independence.
I think that's
where we're at, dude.
I think part of that too is me recognizing, you know, and this is something I had to get myself past is I used to think, oh, I'm a man, so I'm simple. Are my needs simple? Sure. Am I simple? I'm starting to figure out that I'm a pretty complex individual who is alive for two reasons. You know, one, because I am faithful to him and he's in control of everything. But the other reason is I'm built more complex than I'm given credit for. I'm in this situation where I'm just tearing through things, right? And I'm trying to learn and I'm trying to take things apart so that I can see the inner workings and create this, you know, and at my ripe old age of 48, I'll be 49 and 11 days, 49 years old. I'm an old man. Anyway, I'm learning that as the older I get, the more awakening I'm having and the more complex I become, not in a bad way, but there's more to the web for me than there ever was. And I believe that, I think people fear that. I think they fear complexity.
Well,
and that's a lot of the reason too why people are really kind of they're well, if I just go along with the wave, I don't have to worry about all these complexities in life.
See, this is why I think it's so important to remind everybody their identity, what their identity really, really is.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, no one is a simple being. That's nonsense. Even the ones who are quadriplegic, who have like almost in a vegetative state or whatever, are elevated higher than the animals on the earth.
Yeah.
So the reality is that God knitted every single human being uniquely for a purpose.
You know, after you said that, PETA's going to hate us.
I don't care. But actually, I once drove by and threw a bunch of rib bones at them up in the major city a long time ago.
Nice. Way to be aggressive.
Well, I mean, you know, they were holding up everything and it was like really dumb. They were all shouting all this crap. So I had, we ate at this barbecue place and I said, I want to take the bones with me, package them all up. And I threw them out the window at them. I said, they were delicious.
By the way, I watched a video the other day and there was a PETA rally in Florida. And this like 50-year-old dude sees what's going on in the video. And I think the video is called In Your Face PETA. And he goes into this burger joint and he orders the biggest, sloppiest burger he can order. Like this thing was a monster. He walks out and gets right up in the face of this woman from PETA with his bullhorn. And he just starts plowing into this burger and she is screaming at him. And he's just smiling and just pounding this burger. And after she gets done, he goes, being a vegetarian doesn't make you very happy, does it? And she's so furious that she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. Oh, it was so great. But anyway.
But look, here's the thing, man. Like the attention needs to be brought back to the absolutes and the nature of why we're here, who we are, and all that stuff, really. That's really where I'm at, man. It's like, yeah. You know, whatever political spectrum you reside on, the thing is like the more you turn away from the truth of reality in that it's created by an intelligent being who is infinitely powerful, timeless, and ever present, who knows everything. And the more you deny that and slide farther and farther from it, the crazier things get.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing too, you know, and this is something that's always kind of gotten on my bad side, but I've learned to deal with it. And that is the people that look at me and go, well, you must be perfect because you believe in God. Dude, I am far from it. I struggle daily with a lot of things, right? But I understand and know that that's how I'm built, right? It's not abnormal for me to struggle with certain things and to have bad days and good days and off days and to you know, one day not be able to hold my tongue and curse, and one day anger can be a problem. But all of those things that are built within me are also, I'm giving a key on how to help grow away from those things. And that is, you know, just learning that there is this spiritual part of me that yearns for, you know, fulfillment and truth and moral center and, you know, to treat and love people like I'm called to treat and love people. I don't deny that part of myself either. And I'm not going to. And so what I want people to understand about us is, yes, we talk about our faith on here. We do. But we are flawed people and we're not out here preaching. We're not preaching at you. That's not the purpose of this. Mm-mm. The purpose of this is to let you know that it's okay to be flawed. It's okay to be broken. Matter of fact, okay to not be okay.
There's a clear indication of a false teacher when they, and this is particular with Christ following, is when they point to themselves.
Yes.
So just because that's really at the center of like ego, and it's that's totally not what anybody in the actual book that was everything pointed back to the life, death, and resurrection of Christ.
Christ was the antithesis of ego.
Yeah. I mean, washing feet and all this. I mean, yeah. He did all kinds of stuff that was, and we don't even know. We just got like a drop of what he did when he was running around in his ministry for the 3 years. Like he was busy. That dude was, he made 3 years productive. I mean, like that's his mission was those 3 years. And if anyway, what the core of everything though, is just like, look, your identity is greater than what you give it credit for. You are not simple. No one is. You have a purpose. You have this perfect being that is looking for you to turn away from the world and turn back to him and work to his purpose. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean you're going to not screw up. It doesn't mean you're completely perfect. And that comes later. Right here on earth in your existence, you're a flawed being.
Yeah. And he understands that.
And because of Jesus, you actually have a stand-in for everything that you have done that has wronged God. That means every sin. And it goes beyond just, it's like when we look at, sin is a whole thing that there are certain things that we can see that are like, you know, a murderer or whatever is it. We'll put a label on it, say it's greater than such or whatever. But at the end of the day, if you do anything against God, you've committed a sin. And thankfully, you have a stand-in that took your price and he paid it.
Yeah.
And look,
and not only did he pay it, he also paid the ultimate price in doing so, which was having his life taken.
So look, that's what I'm saying. Politics, all this nonsense and everything, it really comes, it's really not the way to fix anything. It's a vehicle by which we rule our society. I'm not saying it's not important or needs to be, you know, gone away with and we completely have none.
Government is a necessity, yes, under the right circumstances.
But we need to, the problem is we just continually be drifting away from the reality of God and Christ the Savior. And that's really the problem that is really everywhere. And part of why I'm here on this channel doing this is to just bring a different kind of voice to that. And that's really what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. It's just tackling the ideas in our culture and and even in academia and the sciences, whatever that may be, if I can, you know, if I can understand it, because let's face it, I'm only able to, my brain is only so big. Yeah. I can't soak in everything, but you know, that's what I'm doing.
But also challenge your thought process from time to time. Make sure you're not in lane because it's a comfortable lane, because growth is not comfortable. Growth is not painless. Growth is not easy. Growth does not come with a instruction manual. Sometimes growth is very painful and very difficult and very, it's just uncomfortable, but embrace the discomfort because it's going to change into somebody better.
Okay. You just said something that reminded me of a sort of a debate I had in one of my classes. I said that the subject was suffering, and I used the example of iron sharpens iron, so men sharpen other men. And I said that is an idea where suffering benefits the individual because it leads them to being shaped and molded into what God has intended. And it's not comfortable. It's not always pleasant. There is suffering that can come of that. And I think what I got back was kind of like a short-sighted thing. I've taught this and it's never been like that because, you know, that's really talking about forming and lifting each other up and everything. But I'm like, you've never tried to talk to like an inmate who's like really done some bad stuff.
Yeah. Who's really been to a place where you've never been.
Yeah. Like, or somebody who's, been a playboy and done all this stuff. And like, who's the whole thing that it, their whole being has to be broken.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? Well, eventually that doesn't come because they don't suffer. There's something that there's usually a catalyst that brings apart, that brings a change of heart that leads them to a better path. There's no other. So, and again, his illustration there where he says iron sharpens iron. Brother, if you ain't never sharpened an axe or like a knife with something or what like that, that is not pleasant.
Yeah.
There's nothing pleasant about that. There's that. If you think about how that's the grinding sound, the taking away of metal from the edge and everything, dude, it's that if you translate that into a fleshly human existence, that is suffering.
Well, something that you're learning right now. And then I learned over the years is to be physically fit and to try to change your physical person is uncomfortable. It's painful.
Oh yeah, it's very painful.
I love these guys that are like, fitness is easy. You're lying. It's a lot of pain, a lot of soreness, a lot of discomfort, but it's something you must endure. And it's just the same as developing spiritually, emotionally, mentally. There's going to be a lot of times where it sucks.
Well, and it's different for everybody. That's the fact too. Like someone's like, irritation is someone else's real battle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like really big deal for one. It's not so much for another, you know, that's the nature of how we're all built different.
Well, but I think a lot of us too are, you know, and I kind of have been kicking this around for a long time. And that's that I think that some of us are built for the war, right? Some of us are built for the battle. Some of us are built for diplomacy, and some of us are built for the war. I probably would count myself as one who's built for the war, right? Because I've like aches, pains, discomfort, none of that actually intimidates me at all. Like it doesn't at all. I'm not afraid of confrontation. I'm not afraid to meet somebody where they're at if they want to go to that place, but it just as far, even in a discussion, if you want to get aggressive in a discussion, I'll meet you where you're at. But I do think there are people that are built for diplomacy. There are people that are built to serve. There are people that are built to be, you know,
everyone has a unique purpose. Dude.
Everyone has a unique purpose, man. So,
but see, the thing is too about this, like, here's an example. Like today I took my large chainsaw. It's a 92 cc. It's a very, very large chainsaw. It's a very large bar on it. I use it to do felling, stuff like that. I have some stumps. I want to like get, they're kind of high and I wanted to cut them down. It's not comfortable to sit there with a very heavy saw pushing on a oak stump down close to the, you're on your knees or, you know, you're something like that. You're pushing, doing that kind of stuff. It's not pleasant at all. Mm-mm. You don't feel comfortable.
An 18-inch chainsaw is not a comfortable thing.
No, to use. Do I feel good though after I've done it? Yeah. If when I've tried to like heave up one of these big stumps and I'm like, I can use my tractor, but I don't choose to. I'm just like, I'll just see if I can do it myself.
Yeah.
Now there's bounds of this. Now obviously you don't want to hurt you don't want to like bust anything,
you don't pull anything, out a knee
or whatever thing. Yeah. But you know, like, why do I choose to do that? Because it's out of my comfort zone. It builds something.
Yeah. Builds character.
Like your body goes into that reactionary mode of like, oh, I need to
put some adrenaline out.
I need to do something. I need to change in order to allow this to, you know, get better or whatever, but it doesn't happen unless you trigger that reaction. It's the same thing with fitness and everything else. Like when I was doing the whole bodybuilder thing, dude, the reason why I was successful with it is because I pushed myself so hard every single workout. It wasn't that I was in the gym the longest, but it was like the time I was in the gym though was brutal.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And like you talk about, like if you watch like Arnold Schwarzenegger's thing or Sylvester Stallone, all those guys, they say the same thing.
Yeah. I lost... So far now it's 80 pounds. It's one of the hardest things I ever did. because the older you get, the harder it gets. And, you know, at this point, dude, you're just really, you know, there are days I'll go to the gym, man, and I'm, dude, it's just brutal. It's as heavy as I can lift, as hard as I can lift, because I'm not a big cardio guy.
Yeah, I hate cardio.
I don't mind cardio from time to time, but if you were looking to me to do cardio with every workout, I'm not that dude. So for me to make up for that, I have to really tear everything down. And you know, but I think of that in to translate it over in the spiritual realm, you got to kind of tear it down, man. You got to kind of really get inside and look at what's going on. And you know, I think we have this knee-jerk thing in us when it comes to spirituality of, I don't want to say out loud that there's something out there that can influence my life that's not me. And dude, if you really think about it, it's the most natural thing in the world, right? Because I think we all understand innately at some level that we're too complex to explain away, right?
We're too complex to explain away, yes. And we're too comfortable.
Yeah.
So like, we're complex. We fear the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So well, I guess to sum that up, I would just say, look, there is no, well, the old shtick, there is no fear. There is no courage without fear. Well, there's no growth without uncomfort.
Yeah.
Without discomfort, I should say, right? Yeah. There's no, that you, look, whether you're talking about fitness or intellectual studies or
spirituality.
Yeah. Look, there is a point where it's going to not going to feel good. And it's going to cause some.
Yeah. You're going to be, you're going to say out loud, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But you got to push through.
If you push through that, you not only build yourself up, but you actually initiate the catalyst for change.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. Where are we talks?
Subscribe, like, comment. Argue, comment, send us an emoji.
Check us out on, let's see. So we got the Facebook, we got the Instagrams, we got the YouTubes.
Got the YouTubes.
We're on
the Spotify's.
We're sort of on Rumble. Like sort of
on Rumble.
I don't get to.
We've got the iTunes and the Spotify's.
Yeah.
Do we have the Pandora's, or does Pandora's lose the playlist? podcast.
So we use RSS.com to distribute our podcast, which goes to like all the major podcast platforms.
So that would be Rumble.
Yeah. Rumble. Rumble is I usually upload the video if I can, if Rumble, it fits. Bumbling. But anyway, so check us out on all those things. If you don't have time to watch us on YouTube, catch us on the podcast.
Guys, and sincerely, if you don't agree, let us know. Well, we would love to engage you in a conversation. I'm not going to throw insults back and forth with you. It's stupid. If we can't have an adult conversation where both ends can input, and even if we wind up not agreeing and parting ways, enhancing each other's existence in some way, please don't send me. You know, we had this once, a guy sent us a tyrannical, I can't believe you guys polluted my, apparently didn't understand the Facebook algorithm, and apparently one point or another, here's how the Facebook algorithm works. If you type in the word religion, God, Christian, anything, and it's a descriptor in our algorithm, we're going to pop up, man. We didn't ask, I don't know your name, but we want to have conversations. We want to have, you know, back and forth. We want to be able to answer any questions you have. If you disagree with what we say, or you want more information, we can provide it.
War R&B Talks.
Laters.
See you.